Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. Today we're talking about how to keep motivated in learning to know God. And the difference between being self-motivated, motivating ourselves out of our own strength, out of our own soulical desires, our will, our mind, our emotions, and being spirit-motivated to know God. Very often, there's that pressure within the church, within our own beings, that we have to have an internal self-motivation to know God. And by knowing Him, what we're really talking about is making ourselves available to Him by giving Him our time and attention in specific manner or methods, whether we're waiting for Him at a specific time or whether we're engaged in a certain activity, but basically making ourselves available to Him in a way that in response to something He has told us to do. Now, He has told us all to know Him. That is what life eternal is, what eternal life is, to know Him. Not just know about Him, but to experience Him fully. It is His desire that you, that I, that each one of us be whole, spirit, soul, and body, that you become one unit, spirit, soul, and body. Right now, that can't happen because of our hindrances, our flesh, that's sort of keeping those puzzle pieces between our soul and our spirit, and in some sense between our body and our soul. It's like if you tried to snap together interlocking puzzle pieces or Lego pieces, and there was a rock in between. You can try as hard as you want, but they're not going to fit together while that rock's there, while that brick wall is there. And so God's desire for us to accomplish in this lifetime is to remove that brick, that rock, that brick wall, so that we can become united, spirit, soul, and body, as He originally created humanity to be. Without, you know, looking back at the illustration of the Garden of Eden and the fall of man, Adam and Eve lost their knowing God. They lost their ability to hear Him, to walk with Him, to commune with Him, because they died spiritually. So they were left with their soul and their body. And they tried to communicate with each other. They tried to communicate with God. But that's all they had left with. So they could only hear and see through filter. As Paul says it, through a glass darkly. It's a warped perception of who God is, who we are, who other people are. We have filters because we are not a united spirit being yet. But once we have been re-enlivened by being reborn spiritually, we then have everything we need to live out of God's life, the spirit life within us. You've now, right now, if you are a born-again believer, that you've been born after the Spirit, you now, right now, have everything you need to rule and reign on this earth. But sometimes God withdraws himself. Very often we will have an experience, whether it's at salvation or a baptism experience, or God comes through in a crisis, and we enjoy and are thrilled by the realness and the absolute confidence we have that we have heard from him, that he loves us, that he impacts us. The problem is that doesn't stay. And even more of a problem is he doesn't want that to stay. For us, in our approach, when we talk about growing in Christ, growing in God, we're not talking about our spirit. We're talking about maturing solically by overcoming our flesh. Now, you can't do anything about removing the bricks between your spirit and your soul. Your spirit and God are doing that. Very often, you don't even know what it is that needs to be taken care of, let alone what God is doing. Our task is to be working on those parts of our new skills, life skills, here on this earth, that we are tasked with doing. Now, what God has for you today is different than what he has for me or for anyone else. And this, in reality, is one of the problems of organized Christianity, organized religion, organized churches, is that the emphasis is on movements. Is that what is God saying to the church today? Honestly, I don't care. I want to know, what is he saying to me today? I don't care. I will be distracted by what God is saying to the church. If God wants me involved in what he's doing on a larger scale, all he has to do is tell me. And guess what? If you are aware of what God is doing in your life, and have been following his training course that he has set out for you. You know, our lives are like an obstacle course. When we get through with one, there'll be another one. But we will have learned certain things in each training session that equips us for what he has. So often we want to know, we want to be informed as to what God is doing here, there, and everywhere, so that we will be ready. We'll know what to do. But there, right there, is that leap from hearing from God to, God, I can take it from here. So he gets us all ready. It's like if on Super Bowl, there were all the coaches that coached both teams. But then when they got to the big game, they lock the coaches out and say, we don't need you anymore. We'll take it from here. Rather than, okay, now it's the big game. We need the coaches the most. Because the coaches remind what the plays are, what your strengths and weaknesses are. They can see things that we can't. We don't need God just through the processing. We need God at the very moment we're implementing what we've learned. In other words, today. It's not about being filled up on one day of the week so that we can handle what comes our way the rest of the week. It's so that we, every moment of the day, are increasing our awareness of who He is, who we are, what we're working on. Now, odds are you are in training in areas of your life that you don't even know about. So our very often, though, we rely on our motivation depending on our temperament, our mind, our will, or our emotions. Some who have a strong mind will want to pursue God because they know it's the right thing to do. They've studied the Bible. They've read the good books. They respond to having made a conclusion in themselves that it's the right thing to do. Others will respond to God and keep themselves motivated through their emotions, whether they feel guilty when they're not spending time with God, or to feel good about God, they'll, for instance, put on worship music. Or when they help someone, it makes them feel good. So that's what keeps them motivated. And then there's others who enjoy discipline, have a strong will, and enjoy the whole idea that if we do such and such, God must do such and such because He said so. He promised us that if we would seek Him, He would be found. So they enjoy that knowing of the absoluteness of God's will, that if we do X, Y, and Z, God will do A, B, and C. The problem with all of that is God is not bound by that. That's not what motivates God. And so the results of trying to keep ourselves motivated by our mind, our will, what we believe, what we feel, what we think, what we do, will get uneven results. And it should. Just think if that happened. If the only way a person was able to know God is if they were singing in the Spirit or enjoying a worship song or studying the Scriptures or helping the needy, then everybody would be able to do that and experience God. Or it would be like, okay, this is all God is He's a responder. We could just like push a button and get Him to jump. And if we wanted to experience more, we would just praise more, or we would just give more, or we would just do more, or believe more, study more, attend church more. And God would have to be that, only more. And all that would do is strengthen this control within us that we can get God to jump through whatever hoop we want. Guess what? God's not going to do that. And it's good. that God isn't going to do that. We don't want him to do that. We want him to be the God. And we, one of the first things we do when we start to let him motivate us as a spirit being is to give up our right to know what he's doing in our lives. Remember, in your spirit, you have all the answers. So it's not that you are lacking information or knowledge or understanding of his will, of your future or past or present. You have all the information, all the power. You have all the power. It's just in your spirit. And again, it's a good thing, because if he gave it to most of us the way we are now, we'd be slaying one another. It'd be real messy. So the process is to expose those areas where we are trying to control God, trying to control ourselves, and trying to control others through what we believe, what we feel, and what we do. And it always comes down to hearing him, knowing him, and giving him our time and attention. But we've all experienced the ebbs and flows, the highs and lows of knowing God, having a wonderful experience, being able to recognize his presence, hearing from him clearly, seeing him move precisely in our lives, and then nothing. And yet knowing that it is that consistency that cooperates with God as he removes the hindrances between our soul and our spirit. So self-motivation is based on results. We pursue God because we're afraid of failure. We're afraid of feeling guilty if something happens we didn't pray enough. And then if we are successful at something, if God does move, if someone is healed because we prayed, then we experience a measure of success, and we take that success for ourselves. But spirit motivation is based on hearing God and doing it, regardless of the results. It's having that confidence that you are hearing him moment by moment, even if you can't say this is what he's saying today. But knowing that you are moving with him. When you're driving down the street or on a highway and you're going the proper speed limit and your car's in good shape and you're not, you know, you're weaving lane to lane, nobody's giving you dirty looks, the police aren't after you, your car's acting fine, you're just cruising and you almost don't even notice how many miles you're going. Maybe you're listening to the radio or something. It's only when you're having car trouble, or you're distracted and you're disrupting other drivers, or maybe you're driving too fast and the police pull you over. It's only when we're out of bounds that our attention is drawn to our activity. Say you had a child who was learning to ride their bike, and you said, yeah, you can ride your bike just in the driveway, up and down the driveway. And you're in the house, and you look, and your child's riding their bike in the driveway. You don't stick your head out the window and say, hey, I told you to ride your bike in the driveway. No, they're already riding their bike in the driveway. You don't yell at them until you see them go out into the cul-de-sac or out into the street. Then they hear from you. So one of the things we have to learn is that if you're not hearing from God in a particular way, don't read anything into it. Odds are you're not hearing from him in that way because everything's fine. You're doing and habitually doing what's best for you at this time. So how do we then develop a lifestyle where spiritually we are keeping motivated to know him more, so we're not just going to wake up 20 years from now and feel like we've missed him? We've missed opportunities. We've missed taking full advantage of our time here on this earth. What do? First of all, we take that whole notion seriously. That there is something you can do. It's not results-oriented. It's activity-oriented. It's you doing something. And in many respects, not doing something. But actively waiting with God and on him to sharpen your senses, to remove your flesh, to teach you what you need to learn. Now, we take other areas of our lives very seriously. Taxes. Everybody knows they're due April 15th. Nobody doubts that. Nobody blows that off. You may not do it, but you also know then you're breaking the law. There's no doubt about that. Going to work. Making an appointment, going to the dentist. Driving according to the laws in your area. You don't go out and decide, well, I'm going to drive on the other side of the road. That seriousness of recognizing what the limits are, what the expectations are, and then abiding by them, we've accepted in all those other areas. And yet we have a hard time taking our relationship with God with an equal seriousness. So first, set out or reaffirm with God a certain place to spend time with him. Just as going back to the going to the dentist, you go to his office. Now, God is different, okay? God doesn't have an office. He fills every nook and cranny, and we've talked about this. He is everywhere. He is sitting right next to you right now. Or if you're running, he's running next to you. He's right there. He's never not there. But our awareness needs to be developed. So set a place aside in your home. Or maybe it's outside of your home because there's so much going on that you need to set a place up. If you can't figure out where a good place is, the Lord will help you. He will bring to your mind a creative place for you to spend time with him. And again, we're not worried about results. In other words, you don't have to have that answer of where that place is going to be right now. And if you don't, there must be something wrong with you. Right now, wherever you are, your first goal, if you don't have a place set aside where you go to meet God at his office, that's your first task. Lord, where's a good place? Now, for some, it may be their whole house. that whenever they enter their home or get in their car or whatever, they've already established it, and it's a larger place. It's not a specific place. That's fine, too. But the whole point being that God has confirmed that that's his office, and that's where he wants to meet you. And then you want to really engage the Lord. Lord, is there a certain time where we can get together? Now, this place and time doesn't have to be set aside from everything else in the sense of legalistic use. In other words, God may tell you that your office is his office, but that when he wants to talk to you, you have to turn off your computer, your phone, so it can become his office. The whole goal is to develop sensitivity. And the more time we spend with him on his terms, and the more attention we give him during that time and then throughout the day, the more free he is to move throughout our lives, our being, our spirit, soul, and body, to bring us into alignment. Again, the goal is that we would be one, spirit, soul, and body. So our first purpose is to develop habits that will affect our lifestyle. Now, let me encourage you here. If you are hearing him at all, if you can say that you hear God a little, you are hearing him. Whether he speaks to you in a song, or through scriptures, or through a memory, or a thought, or if you have a desire to know him, you are hearing him. And inherent is that, in that, is the desire to hear him more. Whether it's clearer in other ways, that desire and that acknowledgement, that recognition that you're hearing from him, that all comes from God. And since he has given you that desire and that recognition that you have heard him, or you are hearing him a little tiny bit, just that acknowledgement that it's just a little tiny bit, you know that you can know him better. You can know him more. And he planted that there so that he can fulfill it. That is the spirit motivation. That is your soul seeking its rightful relationship to your spirit. Your soul resting in your spirit. So develop habits. Make and keep appointments with God. In other words, these are ways you can seek God. He has promised that he will be found of you. It's not about the results. It's about, are you doing what you can to be available to him? And he's going to do the work. But make appointments with him. If you had an appointment with your dentist, you'd keep it. Or your boss wants to see you at such and such a time, you'd show up. So take this whole thing seriously, and God will. And he will expand your relationship and your ability to hear him. But it's not results-oriented. It's the only thing he's going to hold you to is, are you doing what you know to do? Not, are you able to control him and get what you want out of him? But are you doing what you should be doing? So, as always, if you have any questions, drop me a line at diane@weconprepare.org. And I will see you again next weekend. Hope you all have a great weekend. It's always great to hear from you. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.